Today's daf is Bava Metzia daf Tzadik Tes. And we are at the Mishnah, 10 lines from the bottom, of daf Tzadik Ches Amid Bez. Today's daf is being learned as a schus for Achenu B'nei Yisrael, Hanesunim Batzaru Vashit. So we're moving along, discussing halachos related to the Dalet Shomrin, specifically halachos related to a shoyl. So we know that the shoyl is unique as a shomer, in that he's not only chayev pshia, he's not only chayev igneva vaveda, he's chayev even for oinsen. The question is why? At the end of the day, if an oinus happened, it was obviously out of his control. If it was out of his control, oinus rachmona patre, v'lenayr lo sasa davar, why would we obligate him to have to pay for something that he couldn't control? Me. A shemichina, we know, is potter from Gneva Vaveda. A shemisacher is chayef in Gneva Vaveda. We've explained several times the yisoid of that difference really is rooted in the level of shmira that a shemichina and a shemisacher is expected to perform. A shemichina has to do a shmira prusa. Thus, if it was stolen or lost, he didn't necessarily violate his responsibility as a shomer, he's going to be potter. A shomer has to do a shmira mu'ula. Thus, if it was stolen or it was lost, that's a sign that he didn't watch it enough. He didn't watch it as much as he's obligated to watch it, and it's for that reason that he's going to be chayev. But a shoyl being chayev in oitzin, may have a leila mebar. He did a shmira prusa, he did a shmira mu'ula. What happened was completely out of his control. Yet, the Torah says that a shoyl is chayev in oinsen. Now, the poshut reason why a shoyl is chayev in oinsen is not so much that we're punishing him, penalizing him for the fact that the oinus happened, but rather, being that a shoyl is kol ano shaloi, we view the shoyl as the bailam, we view him as the owner of this chayfetz. And being that he's the owner of this chayfetz, albeit for this interim period, if you own something and something happens, even if it's an oinus, nistaf chasadeh, what should I tell you? It's unfortunate, but things happen and it is what it is. The shoyl, being that he is the one that has the right to use this item during the term of the she'ela, is viewed as being the owner, and it's for that reason he's the one that incurs the loss. It's not a penalty. You can't penalize something for something that happened that was outside of the control of who it happened to. The point is that we view him as the bailam, and being that we view him as the bailam, it's for that reason that the shoyl is chayev in oitzin. Stating that, today's daf is going to talk about the idea of a shoyl being chayev in oitzin. The hakdama is definitely something that's worth having in the background, but we're also going to be introduced to a shita in the Amoiram, who, as we'll see, clearly had a different understanding of how exactly it works that a shoyl is chayev in oitzin. Either way, zok de mishnah, shoyl is hapara, if somebody borrows a para, he is a shoyl. The shilcha biad binoi biad avde biad shluchai, and the mashal sent the para to the shoyl through a shliach. Who was the shliach? Biad binoi, it was a son. Biad avdoi, it was his eved. Biad shluchai, it was a shliach. Or the mashal sent the para to the shoyl ayadei shliach, but it wasn't his own son, his own eved, or his own shliach, but rather oy biad binoi biad avdoi biad shluchai shel shoyl. He sent it via a shliach of the shoyl umesa, and then en route to the shoyl, the para died. Potter, the halach is the shoyl is going to be potter. So even though a shoyl is chayev in oitzin, but in this case he never received the para. It was on its way. It was on its way in the first case of the mishnah via a shliach of the mashal. In the second case of the mishnah via a shliach of the shoyl. But the point is that being that it never arrived to him, so it's for that reason the halach is he's not yet chayev in oitzin. He's going to be potter. Amalei shoyl. What would be if the shoyl told the mashal, shulcha li biad bini biad avdi biad shluchi, I want you to please send the par to me through a shliach. Who's the shliach? My son, my eved, or my shliach. Oi, please send it al yedei shliach. Again, it's the shoyl talking to the mashal, and he says, I want you to send it biad bincha, through your son, biad avdecha, your eved, biad shluchach. Oi, alternatively, sh'om aliyam mashal, or if the mashal told the shoyl, hareini mishal chalucha, I'm going to send it to you, biad bini, biad avde, biad shluchi, through my son, my eved, my shliach. Oi, biad bincha, biad avdecha, biad shluchach, v'om aliyah shoyl. And when the shoyl heard this, he said, shalach, yes, I agree, please send it. Vishilcha, and he sent it umesa, and then the animal died en route. Chayev, then the halacha is that the shoyl is going to be chayev. In other words, if the mashal is the one that made a shliach, it doesn't matter if the shliach is someone from his entourage or someone from the shoyl's entourage. And the animal dies before it arrives at the shoyl, the halacha is the shoyl is going to be potter from Leitzin. If the shoyl is the one that made the shliach, or the mashal made the shliach and the shoyl said, yes, sir, and it died in root, then the halach is that the shoyl is going to be chayiv. What's the difference? The difference is, if the mashal makes the shliach, so the shliach is working for the mashal, which means the shela does not go into effect until it arrives by the shoyl. As a result, if it died before it arrived by the shoyl, the halach is the shoyl is going to be pater. If the shoyl makes the shliach, then we view the shliach as shluchay shel hashoyl. If that's the case, the minute it arrives by the shoyl, we say shluchay shel adam kemoisai. It's as if it already arrived by the shoyl himself, and it's for that reason he's going to be chayiv anointed. So when the mashal makes the shliach, the shela doesn't happen until it comes to the shoyl. When the shoyl makes the shliach, the shela happens as soon as it arrives by the shliach. Mashal amar davadayma. If a husband sends a shliach to divorce his wife, that shliach is a shliach lahilacha. The gerushin's not chal when the shliach gets it. The gerushin is chal when the shliach gives it to the wife of the husband. If a woman makes a shliach to receive a get from her husband, then the halach is that the gerushin is chal as soon as the shliach receives it. When the husband makes a shliach, it's a shliach lahilacha. When the woman makes the shliach, it's a shliach lekabola. In the same vein, when the mashal makes a shliach, it's a shliach lahilacha. Thus, nothing happens until it arrives by the shal. So if it's mesa, bedarka, the halach isn't going to be potter. If the shayel made the shliach, then the shliach is a shliach lekabola, and being that the shliach is a shliach lekabola, so it's for that reason that halach is that the shlichus will go into effect, the she'ela will go into effect as soon as it arrives in the hand of the shliach. The one thing that it is kedai to speak out, that the rishonim speak out, and that is, we know that zochen la'adam shaloi b'fanav, which means that I can voluntarily, without you ever appointing me as a shliach, do something for you in the event that we deem that this that I'm doing for you is considered a schos. One of the places that the halach of zochen la'adam shaloi Shalei Befanav comes up is in the first parak of Masechtas Gittin, with regards to a man that had an Eved Kanani, and he told the Shliach, I want you to be Zoichen to get Shichur on behalf of my Eved Kanani. So it's Machlokes Remeir in the Chachamim, whether it's a Schus for an Eved Kanani to go to Cheres, Remeir holds Avde Befkeir Nichole, that's not our Sugya. But the point is, if you hold that it's a Schus for an Eved to go to Cheres, then if the Odoin makes a Shliach Lahilacha to be Meshachar as Eved Kanani, the minute the Shliach receives the get shecher, it's as if the Eved Kanani was the one that made the shliach, and the halacha is he's meshucher. He never made him a shliach. Zochel adam shloi b'fadam. So even though really it's the adam that's making the shliach, and based on that we should view the shliach as a shliach lahilacha, but zochel adam shloi b'fadam says we view the shliach as a shliach lekabal. So the rishonim say that really the she'elo is a schos for the shayel. Kol hanah shaloi, by definition, means that it's a schos. So there really would have been makom to say a ma'u detema that the Mishnah is saying a chiddush, because maybe even if the mashal is the one that made the shliach, but the minute he gives it to the shliach, zochen la'adam shaloi b'fanav, because now the shayel is the one that's going to be able to use this chayfetz, he now has a kol hanah shaloi, and if that's the case, so let it go in effect right away, and if that's the case, then he should be chayiv anointsin. But the Rishonim say it can't be the hein hein advar, because being that in the event that the shelos chal kedarka, the chayiv anointsin is going to be chal at that point, so that by definition makes it a chayiv, and being that it's a chayiv, it falls into the category of ein chavin ela b'fanav. Either way, the Mishnah concludes and says v'chein b'shasha machzira. Really, the same formula that the Mishnah said with regards to the tchilas hashela would be true b'chazarasa at the conclusion of the shela, meaning in the event that the shoyl, at the conclusion of the term of the shayla, sends the animal back with a shliach, and then on its way, en route, something happened. So there too, yesh lachar, is the shayla going to be responsible or not? It's on its way back. It's b'chazarasa. So if the shayla is the one that made the shliach, so then we view the shliach as a shliach loylach of the shayla. The shayla is going to be chayef. If the mashal is the one that made the shliach, so as soon as the shliach of the mashal picks it up, at that point the shayla is terminated, and if that's the case, the halach is that the shayl is going to be potter. Either way, the Gemara scanned this Mishnah and it picked up on one nuance, and that is the Mishnah said biyad avdoi chayev. In the event that the shoyl sent his Eved Kanani to be a shliach for him to pick up the para, and something happened en route, the halacha is, the shoyl is going to be chayev. The same is true if the mashal would send his Eved Kanani, and he would tell the shoyl, is it okay that I send my Eved Kanani? And the shoyl would say yes. So the halacha is that the shoyl would now be considered to have hana from it. The shoyl is in effect, and it's for that reason the halacha is that the shoyl is going to be chayev. But the Gemara says, how could it be? How is it possible that the Eved Kanani of the mashal should be a shliach of the mashal? Yad Eved ki Yad Rabbi. We know the rule of Yad Eved ki Yad Rabbi. We just saw it earlier in the parak. And being that Yad Eved is ki Yad Rabbi, so really the way you have to view an Eved Kanani klapi his owner as just another hand of the Eved Kanani. So you have two hands. If you have an Eved Kanani, you could have a third hand and a fourth hand, right? So the Yad of the Eved Kanani is going to be considered a Yad of the Adon. So the question is, if the mashal would take something from his right hand and he would put it in his left hand, is there a havamina that would be a transfer of rishos? Of course it wouldn't. So how could the mishalech giving it to his Eved Kanani be considered a shlichos, just to make the point clear, a shlichos where the Eved Kanani is going to be a shlich for the shoyl, that we're going to view it as if it left the rishos of the mashal, so then the shoyl could be chayv? This is not a shayla of how could an Eved Kanani be a shlich. That's a sugya in Gittin Daf Chav Gimel. It came up a little bit here in the beginning of Perek HaShoyl and Daf Tzadik Vav. That's not the Gemara's kasha. The Gemara's kasha is that Reuven is being mashal something to Shimon. He's going to do it al yedei a shliach. The shliach is going to be his own Eved Kanani. Reuven's going to give it his own Eved Kanani. And we're going to view Reuven's Eved Kanani as a shliach of Shimon, so that when Reuven gives this item to his own Eved Kanani, it's as if he gave it to Shimon. The Gemara says it can't be. There's no scenario where I take something from my right hand, I put it in my left hand, and we're going to view it as if I really gave it to somebody else. So being that the Eved Kanani is Yodai really Kiyad Balabayas, so how could it be that a person's Eved Kanani is going to be a shliach for somebody else? That if I give it to my Eved Kanani, it's as if I really gave it to you, and it's for that reason you're going to be chayev. Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said the Eved Ivri. You have to say that the Mishnah is talking about an Eved Ivri. An Eved Kanani, it's true, Yad Eved Kiyad Rabbi. But an Eved Ivri is very, very different. And over there, it's loy koni le gufe. An Odin does not have a kinyan aguf in his Eved Ivri. In fact, the London sugi is in the first parak of Masechtas Kedushin discuss very much what is kinyan avdus, kinyan iser. It's a kinyan peiros. But the point is that as much as an Odin owned his Eved Kanani, that's how much he did not own his Eved Ivri. Very, very different. The Mishnah is talking about an Eved Ivri. By an Eved Ivri, there's no Yad Eved ki Yad Rabbi. And as a result, as it relates to an Eved Ivri, the halacha would be that it's possible for Reuven's Eved Ivri to actually be a shliach for Shimon, so that when Reuven gives this item to his own Eved Ivri, it's as if he already gave it to Shimon. Rav said a different verse. He said, "Afilu teimim be'Eved Kanani." It could be the Mishnah is talking about an Eved Kanani. You don't have to be madchik and say that it means Eved Ivri. It could be talking even by an Eved Kanani. Nasa ko'imaloi. The reason the halacha is where the shoyl says to the mashal, "Send it with your Eved Kanani," or the mashal says, "I'm going to send it with my Eved Kanani," and the shoyl says, "Yeah, please do that." The reason he's going to be chayiv is because we view it as if the shoyl told the mashal, "Hikisha b'makal, I want you to please hit your para with a stick, v'hi tavoy, and let it come to me." So what does that even mean? So in the event that a shoyl would tell a mashal, "Hit the para," meaning, "I'm going to borrow your para. How's it going to get there? I don't want to pick it up. You don't want to send it. You know what? Just hit it. Give it a zetz in the direction of where I live and let it come." If a person would do that, and then an oinus would happen on the way, the halacha is for sure the shoyl would be chayev. There's no question that the shoyl would be chayev. So the Gemara says that when the shoyl tells the mashal, "Send it with your Eved," even if it's an Eved Kanani, the halacha is yichayev, not because we view the Eved Kanani as a shliach of the shoyl, because Yad Eved ki Yad Rabbi, you cannot look at him as anything other than the mashal in this scenario, but at the same time, being that the shoyl told the mashal, "Just send it, and whatever happens, I'm going to take responsibility for, so it's for that reason you're going to be chayv. So in other words, the machlok is Rav and Shmuel, what the case of the Mishnah is. According to Shmuel, the Mishnah is talking about an Eved Ivri, where there's no Yad Eved Ki Yad Rabbi. According to Rav, the Mishnah is talking even about an Eved Kanani. It's Nasek Ha'imeloi, Hikisha B'makal V'Tavi. Now notice, Rav's Lashon is Nasek Ha'imeloi, Hikisha B'makal V'Tavi. The Gemara is going to pick up on this in a minute. Meaning, even though he didn't say Hikisha B'makal V'Tavi, he didn't say, I'm taking responsibility. He just said, send it through your Eved Kanani. But if somebody says, send it through your Eved Kanani, we view it as if he would have said a kishav amakal v'tavoy, and if a person would say a kishav amakal v'tavoy, then notice what happened. Halach is you the shoyl would be chayv. So to here you're going to be chayv. But if you think about it, the machloikis Rav and Shmuel is not just the machloikis of what the Mishnah is talking about. When it says eved doesn't mean an eved ivri, that's what Shmuel holds. What doesn't mean an eved knani, that's what Rav holds. The machloikis is really a much deeper machloikis, and that is what's pashup shan in the Mishnah. Why is it in that case where he sent it biyad avdoy, where the shoyl is the one that made the shliach, the halach is that you're going to be chayv according to Shmuel? You're going to be chayiv shlichus, because the minute that the Odin gives it to his Eved Ivri, being that he's operating as a shlich of the Shoyl, we look at him as a shlich of Kabbalah. If we look at him as a shlich of Kabbalah, okay, the Shailah just started. If the Shailah started, obviously you're going to be chayiv anointed. I, the Shoyl, never got it. True, but the shlich got it. Shlich of Odin Kamaisa, and it's for that reason you're going to be chayiv. According to Rav, that's not why you're chayiv. According to Rav, it's an Eved Kanani who can't be viewed as the Shoyl. As a result, there's no Shlichus, and if there's no Shlichus, then the Shailah didn't happen. The Shailah is not going to happen until the Shoyl actually takes possession of it. So why then are you going to be Chayiv? It's a new halacha. It's based on the din of Ikisha B'makal V'Yitavah. It's based on what would have been had he said, you know, let it just go and I'll take responsibility. In that case, you'd be Chayiv. This is Nasek Oymerlei, Ikisha B'makal V'Yitavah. But it's based on a new halach. It's not that the Shailah was chal. The Shailah didn't start yet. It's just based on this new din of Nasa ka'imalei hikisha b'makal v'tavoy. The question is, what does that even mean? Nasa ka'imalei hikisha b'makal v'tavoy. Meaning, if the Shailah didn't start yet, and I'm not chayv anointsin al shayl, so why should I be chayv? Meaning, in a case where a person really says, not Nasa ka'imalei, he really says, hikisha b'makal v'tavoy, that you see from the Gemara, you're chayv. Rav's be mechadish, this is nasa. It's as if you said that. The question is, why would you be chayv? So the truth is, it's a big machloikis rishonim. We'll speak out one mahalach, and that's the ritva. The ritva here in the sugya says that the reason you're chayv is because a person has the right to be mechayv himself for something if he chooses to do so. The classic example of that, and really exhibit A, is the halacha of an orev. An orev, someone who co-signs on somebody else's loan, really he's not receiving compensation and consideration. The loiv is getting money, the malva is lending money, he's getting a mitzvah, or if there's a heteriska, maybe he's making a return on his loan. But the point is that the arev is an innocent bystander. And afal pikein, when you agree to an arevus, you mechayiv yourself. And from there, you see there's a concept that a person can be mechayiv himself. Right, Maria Van Leif says that hodos badin kemeya edem dami works me din hischayivus. So there's a parasha of hischayivus. If a person says a kishu makal v'tava, it works me din hischayivus. But that's the bottom line. According to Shmuel, the Mishnah is talking about an Eved Ivri, and the reason when the Shoyl tells the Mashal, send of your Eved, the Allah is he's already chayiv anointsin, is because shluchah shel adam kamois. It's no different than if he would have said that biyad benoy biyad shluchoy. According to Rav, it's talking about an eved kanani. Why then are you chayiv yad eved ki yad rabbi? You never really left the rishos of the mashal. It's true. You're not chayiv because we say that the shaila started. You're chayiv because nasako imaloi yikisha b'makal vihi tovi mason veit gemara kasha from a brayso. A shaila is a part of somebody borrows a part of a shluchah biyad benoy biyad shluchoy, and he sent the parah through his son through his shliach chayiv dalach is chayiv biyad avdoy potter. If however he sent it biyad avdoy, so there the halacha is that you're going to be potter. So we're talking about where the shoyl made the shliach, obviously. And if the mashal sends it biyad benoy biyad shluchoy chayiv, but if it's biyad avdoy, if it's by the eved kanan, the eved of the mashal, then the halacha is you're going to be potter. Now this is not like our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said it doesn't matter if it's biyad benoy biyad shluchoy biyad avdoy. You're always going to be either chayiv or potter, right? Depending on who made the shliach. But obviously we're talking about where the shoyl made the shliach. From the fact that you see that if you shulcha biyad benoy biyad shlucha yichayev, that has to be the case. And still it says biyad avdoy potter. It's a stereotar Mishnah. The Mishnah says biyad avdoy chayev. Here it says biyad avdoy potter. So the Gemara says bishlam ilo Shmuel. Bishlam, according to Shmuel, very gishmak. Masis of Eved Ivri, Brais of Eved Kanani. The Mishnah is talking about an Eved Ivri. The Brais is talking about an Eved Kanani. And a chinami, an Eved Kanani, it doesn't work, right? That was the Gemara's whole kasha in the beginning. Biyad avdei chayiv, yad Eved ki yad rabbi. The teretz was, the Mishnah means an Eved Ivri. Oh, but the Braisa doesn't mean Eved Ivri. The Braisa means Eved Kanani, and it's for that reason that you are going to be potter. Elo l'Rav kasha, but according to Rav, that says that you're chayiv even by Eved Kanani. Why? Because nasa ko'imalo yikisha v'makal v'hitavoy. So then, How are you going to reconcile the stira, right? Eved ivri yechayev, that's pashat, and eved kanani, you're also chayev. So how do you make sense of the braisa that says pater? So the Gemara says, omalacha rav. Rav is going to tell you that loy teima, I have to tweak my answer a little bit. That my teretz, and the way I was making the Mishnah, the way we had it originally, was nasika imaloy yekish v'makal. But loy teima nasika imaloy, ele ema ba'amaloy yekish v'makal v'yitavi. You have to say that the Mishnah is talking not where he said, just send it beyad your eved, and even though yad eved ki yad rabbi, but it's going to be nasika imaloy yekish v'makal v'yitavi. No, we don't say nasa. If you specifically say Hikisha b'makal v'tavi, meaning send it with your eved, and I take full responsibility for what happens, and then enuchenami, you're going to be chayav. But what's the point? The point is, the Mishnah is talking about where he said Hikisha b'makal v'tavi, and the Braisa is talking about where he didn't say Hikisha b'makal v'tavi. If, whether you say it or don't say it, it's always nasaka oimer, so then what's the difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa? The Teretz is, there's no nasaka oimer. If you say it, you say it. If you don't say it, you didn't say it. The Mishnah is talking about where you said it. The Braisa is talking about where you didn't say it. And the Gemara says to Itma, there's really a precedent for this, actually. If somebody says, lend me your part of Amalei, he said, meaning, who do you want me to send it to? Amalei said, Ikishva Makavi Tavi, he said, just send it. Amar Rab Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravua, Amar Rab. So Rab Nachman said the name of Rab Avua and the name of Rab Kimishi Yosas, Mishos Mashal, Umes Nachayev. You see, Mefurish, that Rab said the halacha, that when the person says, Mefurish, Ikishva Makavi Tavi, you're going to be Chayev. Not Nasa, but when you say it, Mefurish, that's what the Mishnah is talking about, that's what the Braisa is not talking about, and that's the way Miyash of the steer between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Name Misayela. Maybe we could bring a riot to this halacha. Shaleni Parascha, if somebody says, lend me your parah. V'amalei said, yeah, me, who do you want me to send it to? V'amalei told him, Hikisha v'makal v'tovik. Kivin sheyotnas mishos mashal u'mesachai. As soon as it leaves the rishos of the mashal, if it dies, the halacha is, you're going to be chayev. Now, this is a Braisa, which essentially says the halacha of Hikisha v'makal. Now, says it in the case where you said Mefurish Hikisha v'makal, but the point is, it's a braisa that says Rav's halacha. So the Gemara says, name of Misayele, should we assume that this braisa is a raya to Rav? Right, so just to take a breath for a second. Rav made an akimt in the Mishnah, after further review, that the Mishnah is talking about where he said Hikisha v'makal v'tava. So Rav's being mechadish this new inyan, that if someone tells the mashal, just send it, and I'll take responsibility, the halacha is v'chayv. It's rooted in the halachas of Arev, but at the end of the day, it's still a chiddush. Why is it still a chiddush if there's a parish of Arev? I am Berishayna. But it's still a chiddush. So the Gemara wants to know that it would be geshmak if he had a braisa that supports Rav's halacha. So says the Gemara, this sounds like a mefurish a braisa, right? And it's a braisa. So name him Misayele. You see, l'chura hashileni parascha, biad mi, hikisha b'makal, but the Gemara says, no, Amar Rav Ashi, as much as it sounds literally black and white, a mefurish raya to Rav, it's not muchach, it's talking my skin. We could always say that maybe this price is talking about, it's talking about where the shoyl's chatzer was inside the chatzer of the mashal. Now, for a more nuanced description of these two chatzeres, Ayin Rashi, which has significant Erevin vibes. But the point is, there was a chatzer, betoy chatzer, and the only way to go from the inside chatzer to the Rishos HaRabim, or in Erevin lingo, to the mavoi, you would have to go through the outer chatzer. But the bottom line is this. The bottom line is the chima shalchala, in this case, when the mashal sends it to the shoyl, being that he's not sending it across a three-lane highway, right? He's sending it mamish into a chatzer where it's inevitable he's going to get there. Vaday lahasam azel, he's zicha going there, and being that he's zicha going there, so it could be it's in that case when you say yikisha b'makal v'tavoy that the halach is that you're going to be chayv. No, the Gemara is saying that could be yikisha b'makal v'tavoy usually doesn't work. Even if the shayl says it, it doesn't work. Dafke, in this case, it's going to work. Now, the truth is, from the Gemara's chilek, and from the Gemara's dichoy of why maybe there's no raya from this price at the Rav, you see a little bit why the Gemara felt it needed a raya to Rav. It's because at the end of the day, it's true, there's a parsha of an Arev, right? An Arev co-signs alone, and we assume it's a real Hischaivus. But at the same time, it's all predicated on the fact that we assume, for whatever reason, that the Arev meant this seriously. And when he signed, right, it's not a situation where he's Meshat Anibach, right? You have to mean it. Otherwise, we don't assume that it's real. The Gemara is telling, if the Shoyl tells the Mashal, yeah, just hit it, let it come, and I'll take full responsibility. Seriously, why would you do that? So the Gemara is questioning Rav, Mechatesi. So talk to Gemara, you want to bring me a raya from this braisa? It could be the braisa is nishta as a raya. And the reason the braisa is nishta as a raya, because it could be over there, there was no risk. It was so posh that it was going to end up there. So if he said it, he probably meant it. Meaning, if it's a long trip for him to get there, so it could be over there, he doesn't really mean it. But over here, it's posh that he means it. And therefore, if the chiddush of Rav is that it's maybe loy samchadaite, so over here, it's posh that he would be samchadaite. And therefore, it's not a raya to Rav's case where maybe he wasn't some chadaita. But the Gemara says, "Yochi ebazay ma'ila meimro." Meaning, if this Bryce is talking about in such a posh the case, he's talking about a case where it's mamish at tachotzer b'tachotzer. It's so obvious that he's going to end up there. So, what's the chiddush of the Bryce? I mean, the Bryce can't be talking about a case where there's zero chiddush. What, the fact that there's an Indian of Yikish b'makel v'tavoy, that we know from the parasha of Ari. The chiddush is obviously going to have to be that even though there's a little bit of risk, still you're some chadaite. In a case where there's zero risk, so what's the chiddush? Mar says, you have to say the case was where there was a little bit of risk. Ikka gaz yosa. It's talking about where there was some zovius, Rashi says. There were corners and, right, there were different little things where maybe the para could have gotten lost and maybe could have gotten harmed. Now, the time I would have thought like some chadaite. Maybe, even though he said he didn't really mean it, because maybe it's going to get caught up in one of those little obstacles. But like asking also the head there, and he's not going to really make it there right away. So fuck it, he's willing to be mekabel achrayis, but only once he gets a kamash one to some chadaite. That's the chiddush that he's some chadaite. The bottom line is, as relates to the Mishnah, where one of the cases of the Mishnah was that if the shoyel tells the mashal, send me the parah through your eved, or the mashal told the shoyl, is it okay if I send it through my eved? And the shoyl said yes. The halacha is that as soon as the eved takes it, if an oinus happens, the shoyl is going to be chayv an oinsin. The Gemara didn't understand how that could be. What happened to yad eved ki yad rabbi? The assumption is that when the mashal gives it to the shliach, it's a shliach kabbal of the shoyl, and as a result, it's out of his rishos, in his rishos, the shayla just went into effect. If the shayla just went into effect, it's for that reason. At this point, he's going to be chayv and oinsin. But it can't be that if I give something to my Eved Kanani, it left my rishos. It's like taking it from my right hand and putting it in my left hand. Yad Eved Kiyad Rabbi, and there were two mahalchim in the Gemara. Two mahalchim amongst the Gedolei Amoraim. Shmuel, right, usually the Gemara brings Rav first, but in our sugya, it's Shmuel first. Shmuel said the Mishnah is talking about an Eved Ivri. Kanani, Eved Kanani, it wouldn't work. Means an Eved Ivri. Rav said that it's talking even about an Eved Kanani. I mean, if you want it to be an Eved Ivri, gizuntahe. But the Stimas HaMishnah sounds like it means even an Eved Kanani. You have to make an Ekimta. It's talking about where he said, Hikisha b'makel v'hitavei. Not Nasaka imre Hikisha b'makel v'hitavei. But it's talking about where he said specifically, Hikisha b'makel v'hitavei. And the reason he's chayiv is not because the Sheila started. The Sheila didn't start yet. It's not a Shliach. It never left the Rishos of the Mashal. But it's no different than if he says, just send it on its way, where Zicha the Sheila didn't start. And afal piki in dalach is I could be mechayev myself. That is what the Mishnah is saying. And if that's the case, the Mishnah is saying that we say Hikisha b'makel v'tovei even for a shoyl to be mechayev himself in oitzin. And even though we know there's a concept of mechayevus the parsha of Arev, but at the same time, you would have thought that maybe he didn't mean it erens the 100%. Maybe it's like some chadaite, right? That's what emerged as being the chiddush of Rav. Afal pikein. That is what the Mishnah says. If somebody borrows a kardoim, he borrows a hacker, an axe, from his friend, if he uses it, meaning he used it to cut wood, then the halach is his koinah. If, however, he didn't use it, he's not going to be koinah. So the Gemara says, Lamai. When Rav Huna said that the shoyl is koinah, the thing that he borrows when he uses it, but before he uses it, he's not koinah. What did he mean when he said koinah? Did he mean to be chayv and oinsin? So that would mean that a shoyl becomes chayv and oinsin when? Not only when he gets the item, but he has to use it. Until you use it, you're not going to be chayv. And by the way, what would be the svara chitzayna? A shoyl is chayiv and oinsin because kol anah shalois. And maybe once I start having enough from it, I'm baka boy, that's when I'm going to be chayiv. But up until that time, not. But the Gemara says it can't be. Why not? Because ma'ich no paru, the mishashe elo. It can't be. Because our Mishnah said meforish that as soon as the paru arrives at the shoyl, or if the shoyl made a shliach, as soon as it arrives into the rishos of the shliach, at that point, meisa d'aloch is going to be chayiv. You're going to be chayiv in oinsin. So you see clearly that you're chayiv in oitzin even before you use it. Meaning, Rav Huna said as halacha regarding a kardoy, right? The Mishnah was talking about a parah, but the Gemara almost rhetorically says, "Maishna parah." The Mishnah says, "Right, you're not going to tell me the chilik is a kardom and a parah." So at the end of the day, if Sheila and the chiyuv oinsin goes into effect as soon as the Sheila goes into effect, as soon as it enters the rishus of the shoyl or even his shliach, so if that's the case, how could it be that Rav Huna and Amir said kenegan the Mishnah that you have to be bucked by the chayv oinsin? Elamai, that's not what he meant, right? Elo, what he must have meant when he said kana was lichazara. Meaning, baka boy loy matzi hoderbe. As soon as he's baka boy, now the mashal can't be chozer anymore. Loy baka boy. If, however, he wasn't baka boy, then matzi mashal hoderbe, then the mashal would be able to be chozer. Meaning, you have to say that Rafuna's halacha was a different halacha. Rafuna was not discussing when you chayv anointing, when you're not chayv anointing. What Rafuna was discussing was when the mashal could back out. The mashal, according to Rafuna, can't back out once he uses it, but he can back out up until the time that he uses it. Now, if you think about it for a second, it comes out a very big chiddush. Because it comes out that in the world of Rav Huna, a shoyl is chayv anoitzin as soon as he takes possession of the thing that he's borrowing. But the mashal still has the ability to be chayzer if he wants. He could still back out. The kinyan of the shoyl is not nishlam legamre until he uses it. Because it's only at that point that if the mashal wants to be chayzer, he won't be able to be chayzer. And we spoke out in the introduction to the daf that Pasha, you learned the reason a shoyl is chayv anoitzin is because he's koine. It's mine, therefore I'm chayv anoitzin. Avifel the mashal could be chayzer, so it's a little tzarech beer. Why then would the shoyl be chayv anoitzin? Meaning Rav Huna is saying a halacha. Okay, the halacha is an interesting halacha. But if you think about it a little bit, it may go to the core of understanding why a shoyl is chayv anoitzin. How it could be that a shoyl is chayv anoitzin. Oinus rachmana patre. You're being mechayev me for the oinus. The Teretz says, no, we spoke out in the introduction to the daf. It's not that we're penalizing you for the oinus, but it's yours right now. So if it's yours, nistaf chasadei. And as a result, you're going to be achray for any oinus that's going to happen. That's all good. That's all good if you hold that the chi of oinsin coincides with the kinyan shela. But if you're telling me that you chayv anointzin as soon as you take possession of it, but the kinyan shela doesn't go into effect until baka boy, until you actually use it, so this may force you to rethink a little bit the havana of a shel being chayv anointzin. I'm rishonim ubeachroinim. Either way, the Gemara says that this chiddush of Rav Huna that what, that a mashal could be chayzin from the shela even after the shel already took possession of it. Until the shoyl actually uses it, is pliga the Rav Ami. It's not like somebody Rav Ami said. Rav Ami. Rav Ami said a mashal kardim shal hektish. If somebody had a kardim shal hektish and he was mashal it, he loaned it to somebody. So the halacha is ma'al lefi tevis hanashal. The mashal is considered to have been ma'al the hektish. What's the value of the milah? It's the tevis hanah, meaning the amount of hanah that he gets from lending his thing to somebody, right? If you lend something to somebody, the person will be makir toiv. You have to have a sign off from it. So whatever the value of that toiv sign off is, that's the value of the me'ila. V'chavei, right? The person that just took this karden that belongs to Hektish from you, the moil, the marshal, taloch is mutl v'keba l'chatchila. If you want to use it, you can use it l'chatchila. Why? Because when you moil the Hektish, the Dover Shal Hektish is Yotzel L'chulin, and as a result, you want to use it, you can use it. What's the Gemara's kasha that you're telling me? That as soon as the she'ela happens, at that point, there was already a me'ila. How's somebody mile? You mile if you might see something from the rishus of the hektish, or if you have anah from hektish. The Gemara's kasha is that if you're going to tell me that what? That the actual she'ela in and of itself does not create any kinyanim, that means at that point, there was really no transfer of rishos. If there was no transfer of rishos, so why was the me'ilo? The iloi kanu, if there was no kinyan that took place, amai mal. So the question is, so why was the mashal mayol? And why is it that the chaver that borrowed it is allowed to use it l'chatchilo? Nehadre, he should give it back. V'loi l'kanye, let the kinyan have never been in effect. V'loi l'moyol, and as a result, there'll be no me'ilo. Meaning, if you're telling me that the she'ela does not go into effect until the shoyl uses it, so nothing happened until the shoyl uses it. He's got the chayv and oinsen, which you have to make sense of. But the she'ela does not happen until you mevakeya. So where exactly was the me'ila? The she'ela was a me'ila. Whatever it was. We don't have to go through the nuances of Hilchas Me'ila now. But the Maisa She'ela was a Me'ila. But the Maisa She'ela doesn't happen in the world of Rav Huna until the Shoyl starts using it. He's Chayv and Einzin Grada, but it doesn't happen, the She'ela, that is, until that point. So the question is, why is he Me'ila? So the Gemara says, oh, you see, clearly you pliga the Rav Ami, obviously, Rav Ami and Rav Huna, which is okay, by the way. Rav Ami and Rav Huna do not agree with each other. It says, "Please, the Rav Elazar, that this chiddush of Rav Huna is also not something like Rav Elazar." The Rav Elazar said, that just like if somebody wants to be koina something, like you want to buy something from somebody, so how you koina? You koina with meshicha, right? See the first perek of Perek Hazav, v'chule, right? How you koina? You koina metaltlam b'meshicha. So to a shayil is Koina, or Shoyrim is the Lashon of Rabbi Lazar, Kach Tiknu Meshicha B'Shoyrim. You're Koina with Meshicha. Tanya Nami, Hochi Abraisa. Kshem Shetiknu Meshicha B'Lekuchas. Just like Chazal with Masaka Meshicha B'Lekuchas. Kach Tiknu Meshicha B'Shoyrim. That's how a Shoyrim becomes a Shoyrim. It happens with Meshicha. Kshem Shekaka Niknis Bekesev Shabbat Chazoka. Just like Karka could be acquired because of Shabbat Chazoka. Kach Schirus Niknis Bekesev Shabbat Chazoka. Schirus, a rental, goes into effect. How? Bekesev Shabbat Chazoka. So Gemara says, 1 second. Schirus my avidite. So what does that mean? Rashi, third line. My avidity lahaknois at sheyimshoich. My chazaka b'le meshicha meshkachasai. Schirus. I mean, we're probably talking about metaltolin, right? When you say that shayimim acquired b'meshicha, what does it mean? Metaltolin, obviously. So if it means metaltolin, schirus is probably also metaltolin. So how do you get into keser shtar v'chazaka? Karkas niktis b'keser shtar v'chazaka. Therefore, what? Schirus metaltolin should also be keser shtar v'chazaka. I'm Rav Chisda, schirus karka. And that part of the braisa is shifting from metaltolin to karka, and as it relates to karka, schirus karka is like kinyone karka. And just like kinyone karka is keser shtar v'chazaka, so to schirus karka is going to be keser shtar v'chazaka. But the bottom line is this. The bottom line is what Rav Elazar say. He said something that was supported by a braisa, a tanya nami hochi. But Rav Elazar said, kiderech shetiknu meshicha b'lekuchais, kach tiknu meshicha b'shoimren. So to Chazal when Masakin Meshicha B'Shoyimer V'Inyonenu Ashayil. So when is Ashayil Koina? He's Koina B'Meshicha. Not when he uses the thing that he's borrowing, but when it comes into his possession. If that's the case, you see again that Rav Huna's halacha is not like an Amoira. It's not like the Amoira Rav Elazar. Now this is a little trickier because this already had a Tanya Nami Yochi. But the bottom line is Rav Huna said a very big chiddush. He said that when does the shayla go into effect? Not when the shayla takes possession. The chi of Einsin is when it. The shayla takes possession. But the shayla itself, that happens when? That happens when the shayla starts using it. The Maynaf Kimina, when could the bashal be chayzer? It can be chayzer up until the point that he starts using it, even after it already entered the rishos of the shayla. It's the loiker Rab Ami from a halacha that he said in Hilchas Me'ilah, and it's loiker Rab Elazar from a halacha that he said in Hilchas Shayimim. Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said, nu halacha, hayman degazal chavitza dechamri mechaver. Somebody stole a chavitza de tamri mechaver. So Rashi says, what's a chavitza de tamri? Tmorim hamedubakim yachad kari chavitza. A whole bunch of dates that are attached to each other is called a chavitza. So these date cakes and fig cakes that the Gemara talks about in different places. So that's what a chavitza is. V'isbahen, Rashi says, you have to know this, has inside of it chamshin tamri. 50 tamarim. So this is a cake that's made up of 50 tamarim. So if somebody steals a chavitza de tamri chaveroi, ve'ismi chamishim tamri, agav adodin. Now, if you went to sell it right now, so the price that you would get for it, meaning if this person still had it and he tried selling it, he would get mizdavlin, they would sell benun nochi chada for 50 minus 1, which is a roundabout way of saying he'd get 49 zuz for it. Chada chada. However, if he would sell it individually, mizdavlin benun, the halacha is he would get 50. So again, somebody stole from his friend a chavitza de tamri that was made up of 50 tamarim. The value of each one of the tamarim was 1 zuz. So based on that, he stole 50 zuz worth of tamarim. However, if you sell it as a chavitza, which is what it is right now, you'd get 49, right? You get a discount if you buy the whole chavitza. Individually, it's 50, but if you buy it as one big chavitza, it's going to be 49. So Shmuel said, this gazlan right now has to pay. What does he pay? I mean, if you have the chavitza, just give back the chavitza. But if you don't have the chavitza, now you have to pay money, right? And the question is, how much money do you pay? So this is what Shmuel said. Lehed, yimashalim chamishim nochi chada. If you stole from a hedyid, you pay 49. Lehekdish, mashalim chamishim. But if you stole from hekdish, then you pay 50. Vichum shayu, right? And you have to pay a chamish as well. So if you stole from a hedyid, so then you get the lower of the two prices, the 49. If you stole from hekdish, yad hekdish al yoyna. So then you're going to have to pay 50. And to add insult to injury, you're going to have to add the chamish, which every mile behekdish gazlin of hektish is a mile by hektish, always has to pay. Masha inkim b'mazik, agav urchi, Shmuel said that as it relates to someone that's mazik hektish, if you'd be mazik the chavisa the chamri, so you would have to pay the 50, abad loy mishal m'chumsha. Then you wouldn't pay the chaymish, and that's based on general halachas amilud, amamar, ishki yoich ha-koydish, prat m'mazik, that the only time you're moisif a chaymish is if you eat kachim, but if somebody is mazik kachim, you don't pay the chaymish. So bottom line is, what's Shmuel's halacha? Shmuel's halacha, somebody stole something, and theoretically it has two prices, right? It has the more expensive price and has the cheaper price. Because if you buy it individually, it's going to be a little bit more money. If you buy it as a whole and you stole it as a whole, it's going to be a little bit cheaper. So what Shmuel said, it depends. Hedyit discount, it's a little less. Hektish, over there it's more. In other words, hektish is more chomer than hedyit. Makes a lot of sense. Maskelo Rabbi Barabayo. So Rabbi Barabayo asked the kasha, the hedyit amai mishalim chamishim nachichado. Why is it that if you stole from hedyit, you pay 49? Namele anachado chado havmizam ninulu. I mean, I understand. Why isn't it that by head you can get away? You shouldn't be able to get away with giving him 49. Why? The Nizal should be able to tell the Gazan, I would have sold this individually, like Mechatesi. Meaning, Mechatesi, it should ever be 49. Even for Hedyet, I think it should be 50. Let the person say, I would have been Matrich, and I would have, this is what I do for a living. I sell tomorrow. Okay. So I would have figured this out. Amar Rafuna Breid Rav Yeshua. So Rafuna Breid Rav Yeshua said, quote, Shamin Beisa Ba'oise Sodetnan. So what does this mean? This sends us to Perek HaKoinis in Mesechtis Bava Kama, where the Mishnah is talking about the mazik of Shein. And the halach is if somebody has an animal and it's bir b'steyachar, so you have to pay. Now, Namal, what do you have to pay? You pay what you damage. Stating that, there's a big kula in the parasha of Shein. The Gemara talks about it by Richos. It's known as the infamous sugya of Shishim, tucked away in Perek HaKoinis, in the middle of Mesechtis Bava Kama, where there was a whole computation where Chazal figured out how you're supposed to figure out the value of the damage. Meaning, let's say the animal ate an aruga. So if you look at what's the value of an aruga, you would say, okay, I don't know, it's worth $1,000. That's what you would have to pay. But what we do is we don't look at the aruga in a vacuum, but rather we look at it as part of a very, very large piece of property. And the value of the aruga within the piece of property ends up being much less. Meaning, if somebody damages one aruga within a grosa field, so obviously the hit is going to be a lesser hit, and that's what we cheshbon. So Rafuna Breid Rav Yeshua said, you want to know the makar to Shmuel's halacha? It's so pasha what Shmuel meant. Because Shmuel had a precedent. You see by the Arbavis Nezikin, there's already a kula of Shaman Beisaba Oisasada that you don't pay for an aruga in a vacuum, but you look at it into... So this... a certain koyach de teira, there's a certain leniency that Chazal imposed when it comes to the Arbavis Nezikin. The same is true regarding a gazlin. A gazlin is also a mazik. And as a result, this gazlin is going to be treated somewhat favorably. And if there's a hechatimtza for it to be a little bit more, a little bit less, right? This is not the same formula as shishim. But the point is that tzad hashav is that you can go with more of a stringency, you can go with more of a leniency. From shaman beisa, you have a makar, there's a precedent that you go with a leniency, and that's the background to why Shmuel said that if it's from a hedyit, you're going to pay only 49. Now, by hektish, he didn't say it, but as it relates to hedyit, that's going to be the halach. But the Gemara says, the sova Shmuel din hedyit lavkit din gavoya dami, right? It would seem that Shmuel's shita is that the din of a hedyit is not the same as a din gavoya. Meaning, we treat hektish more stringently than we treat a hedyit. That for sure Shmuel said. Right? Shmuel said, if you steal from the hedyit, it's 49. From hektish, it's 50. Okay, we figured out why 49. But at the end of the day, din hedyit and din hektish are not the same. Faith, how could that be? How could Shmuel have said that? There's another member of Shmuel, another classic member of Shmuel in the world of the Bavis, and it seems to contradict. It's Fatnan. We learned in a Mishnah. Not al evan ekerish al hektish. So we're talking about the Gizbar. The Gizbar, he's the treasurer of hektish. So if he picked up a stone or a beam that belonged to hektish, loy ma. So if a person that's not a Gizbar would go and he would pick up an evan or a curry from hektish, so being that he did a hakbah, it's like a kinyan, he's moitzi mirshos hektish, quote unquote, halach is, he would be considered a malach. But if a gizbar does it, we view him as an extension of hektish, so him picking up, this is what he does all day, he picks these things up, he puts them there, so if he picks it up, he's not going to be chav. Nosnal the chaver, let's say the gizbar would pick it up, he would give it to his chaver, who mal, the chaver loy mal, the gizbar is the one that's considered to have been mal, the person that received it not. Bona b'toich beisoy, let's say this gizbar would take the evan and the kaira, and he would affix it to his house, he would mamash, he's missing a beam, perfect. Goes to work, he comes home with a beam, and he puts it in his house, right? Loy ma, the halach is that even though he did that, he's not ma'il, until he lives there a shavar pruta. So if he lives there a little bit, even the value of a shavar pruta, so then already he's going to be chay. Says the Gemara, Yosef Rabbi Avol, Kamid Rabbi Yechon, Yosef Kamim, Shmei Deshmul. So Rabbi Avol was sitting in the presence of Rabbi Yechon, and he said this And he said, oh, in the name of Shmuel, so you say Meres, that from this Mishnah Masechtas Me'ilah, you see, Hador b'chotzeh chaver shaloi midaitoi, tzorech lahalas loischa, that if somebody lives b'chotzeh chaver shaloi midaitoi, you have to pay for it. So this is a big sugi in Shas. Hador b'chotzeh chaver shaloi midaitoi, tzorech lahalas loischa, or ain't tzorech lahalas loischa, right? You're living in your friend's chotzeh, he doesn't know about it. You're gaining, he's not losing. Do you have to pay for it? You don't have to pay. Now, obviously, if your friend is losing, of course you have to pay. But let's say he's not losing, right? You have to pay, you have to pay. It's what's known as the sugi of Zenenev Zalei Chaser, Koifan Amidas Taim, right? That big sugi on Daf Chafim Mesechtes Bavakam. But the point is, Shmuel said, I can prove that Ador B'chatz Chaber Shloimi Dait Tzorech La'alas Leschar from this Mishnah. Because what is he in this Mishnah? That when you live in the house that has the Evan or the Koyer of Hektish, it's considered that you were a Moyel B'Hektish. Oh! So if I'm there, it's considered that I'm a mile, so that's considered a maisa geneva aza. So too, if I'm dor b'chotz chaveroi, I live in my friend's chotze, that's also considered that I took something from him, and it's for that reason that loch is tzarech la'alas leischa. Now, we're not learning the sugi of me'ilo, we're not learning the sugi of zen nenev zalei chaser. We just need one thing. What did Shmuel say? Shmuel said that if it's called me'ilo, living in the chotze of hektish, then it's called Gizela if I live b'chatz chaver. Mechatesi. Shmuel just said din hektish and din hedid are different. So freak the Gemara, the memra, the sova, Shmuel din hedid, lav kidin gavaya dami. You see, mefurish, that he holds din hedid is kidin gavaya. So it's a steer in Shmuel. How come when it comes to this chavitz of the Tamri, Shmuel says we treat hektish and hedid differently? Over here, he says, I'm going to learn a huge halacha in dine hedid from dine hektish. So the Gemara says, hadabe Shmuel me'ahi. You have to say that Shmuel was chayzer me'ahi. So which one is Me'ahi? Rashi says, you have to say from the second halacha, this last halacha of Hador b'chatz chaver shaloi b'shul sarach alas leischar based on Milo. No, you're right. Can't be. The two halachas contradict each other. Obviously, he was chayzer somewhere along the way. He must have said the second halacha first, then he was chayzer. And Enochinami, that halacha is not true. Right, how do you know which one he was chayzer from? Someone says, Loi, me'ahi hadabei. He for sure was chayzer from the second one. Because the Rava, it's based on something Rava said. Amar Rava said, Hektish loi midas, kehedyet midas dami. Now, Rava's halacha is also mentioned in the sugi there in Bava Kama. Rava was saying something else. Rava said that really, Hektish is never considered shaloi midas. There's a sugi of Ador b'chatz chaver shaloi midas. Hektish is not considered shaloi midas. The reason Hektish is not considered shaloi midas is because who owns Hektish? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Rashi's Lashon is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. And if the Eibishter knows, so it's never considered to have bit v'rachmona yodas, Rashi's Lashon. Hashem knows. So if Hashem knows, it's never considered shaloi midas. It's always considered midas, right? We're always going to view it midas. And afal piken yechayev. What was Rabbi trying to say? Rabbi was trying to say that if someone's dar b'chatzah chaveroi, not shaloi midas, but midas, avadi is going to be potter. Why? Because if the guy knew about it, he let you live there, so obviously he was moichel. By me'ilo yechayev, when it's shaloi, but shaloi midas, yechayev, maybe. Me'ilo yechayev shaloi midas. But Rava said, really, every shaloi midas by me'ilo is a midas. And afal pikin yechayev. Muzayin, it's a special parsha of me'ilo. And if that's the case, Rava said, you can't learn hedid from hektish. All the Gemara means is one thing. That the Gemara says that Rava already poked a hole in the whole hanocha, that I'm going to learn hedid from hektish in that particular sugya, based on the fact that it's not a tushta b'cha. Because you're telling to ador b'chatz chaver Shaloi midas from hektish, which is midas, and afal pikein yechayev, because usually midas you should be potter. So obviously this is a little bit different. If it's a little bit different, so it's for that reason, says the Gemara, it's mistaber that just like Rava said, based on his reasoning, it's a different reasoning, but based on his reasoning that you can't learn ador b'chatzah chaver shaloi midas from gizbar, it's mistaber then that if Shmuel had to be chayzer from one of these two members, that's the member that he was chayzer from. Again, we're handling was Shmuel chayzer that he holds din hedid is kedin hektish, or is chayzer that he holds din hedid is lav kedin hektish. We're bringing a raya from Rava. Rava didn't hold of the second halacha that Shmuel said. V'lav mitameh. But the point is that once you see Rava didn't hold of that halacha, and you know Shmuel for sure didn't hold of one of these two halachas, so it's a cause of Ashlishi Amachri, it's mistaba that that's the one that he didn't hold of. Either way, one last gemara. Amar Rava. Rava said, Hanishkuloi. They were porters, people that were carrying things for other people. The tavur chavisa the chamer the chanvas. So they were carrying a chavis of wine for a chenveni. B'yomid the shuka. Now the situation was that okay. Hanushkuloi, they were porters, the tavru that broke, chavisa de chamel chenva, right? You have to touch the word tavru that broke, ikka chasim and asefer. So they're carrying this chavisa de chamel for the chenveni, and it broke. Now the question is, what do they have to pay? So the situation was like this. If this person tried selling his barrel of wine in the Yom HaShuk, he would have gotten 5 zuzim for it. But any other day, he would have only gotten 4. So the Yom HaShuk, right, there were a lot more buyers there, he would have gotten a better price for it. So the question is, what does he pay him now? Does he pay 5? Does he pay 4? Right, that's the segue from the previous Gemara of the Chavitza to Tamri. Right, you can hear two different prices in terms of how to go about this. So should he pay him 5 or should he pay him 4? So the Gemara says it depends. If he pays, Rashi says, before the Yom HaShuk, so then the halacha is you have to pay him the chavisa de chamra. Meaning, if it's before the Yom HaShuk, you have to give him back exactly what you took from him, because this person might be able to sell or get 5 zuz for it, so you have no choice. Bishar yoimi. If, however, it's already bishar yoimi, meaning the Yom HaShuk already passed, so if the Yom HaShuk already passed, so then mahadri lehe. Then you're going to give him 5. Now, if you look at the Goyen has a girsa, brings a lot of Rishonim holding Mahadri Dalud, Rashi's girsa is Mahadri Lehe. So the point is like this. If it's before the Yom HaShuk, so then just give him back the Chamra the Chavisa. If you could go buy it now for 4, buy it for 4, give it back to him, everything is going to be okay. Once the Yom HaShuk passes, you have no choice, you have to give him 5. The reason you have to give him 5 is because you could have gotten 5 for it by the Yom HaShuk. And as a result, that's the Gemara says, Abba Valeya Marin Adlai Havalei Chamra Lezvune. The only time this is true, that you have to give him the full 5, is if this person didn't have any wine to sell. Meaning, he was looking to sell wine, he didn't have it. The reason he didn't have it is because you broke his wine. So it's for that reason, then, the assumption is he would have sold it. Now you have to give him the full. But let's say he had wine to sell and he didn't sell it. So then already, you don't have to cheshbon that he would have sold this wine. So therefore, you're not mechuyev anymore to give him the 5 zuzin. You can return the chamra. Just give him wine. Right? What's the problem with returning wine after the Yom HaShuk? If he sells it now, he's only going to get 4 for it. Right? That's the point. But he wasn't going to sell it anyway. So he was going to anyways end up having it only worth 4. And as a result, you want to just give him back the Chamer the Chavisa. Again, if it's before the Yom HaShuk, you just give him the Chamer the Chavisa. That's easy. The question is if the Yom HaShuk passed already. Yom HaShuk passed, so we have to assume he might have sold it. If you give him now Chamer the Chavisa, he's only getting 4 zuzim. So therefore, you have to give him 5 zuzim, because the only way to get that extra zuz is if you actually give him the money for it. So you're going to have no choice. If, however, he had a chamra de chavisa and he didn't sell it, zayis emeris, he wasn't going to sell it, he would have had this one regardless, being that he would have had this one regardless, so then you could zicha get away with it. Says the Gemara, one last point, umenakile agar tirche, even though you have to give him the full 5, but you're allowed to deduct schar batala, because at the end of the day, he would have gotten 5, but he would have put in a day's work. Now he's getting 5 as a freebie, mehechatesi. So you have a right to be menakele agar terche. You can reduce that. Not just that, v'dmei bars naisa. So one of the things this person would have had to do is he would have had to hire someone to like drill a hole, groove a hole inside this chavis. He didn't have to because he never ended up selling it. So meaning, you're allowed to deduct the expenses also that he would have had. So you deduct the schar batala, you deduct the expenses. And believe it or not, there's no hadron here, but there is a little bit of a hadron in the sense that it's hadron aloch, the sugis of the Dalet Shomrim that are discussed in Perek HaShoyel, tomorrow's daf, you might have heard of before. It begins with the words Hamachlef Parah V'Chamor, which is going to be a whole different sugis, one of the most lamdish dafin and shas. That Be'ezer Hashem is going to be for tomorrow. But just to speak out a few ha'aris, see how much time we have, that we left on the table over the last couple of days. And that is, number one, in the Sefer Matike Shmua, in Beis Brisk, this is in volume 2, it's page Peh. So they bring that Reb Chaim Brisk is Edom, Reb Tzvi Hersh Glickson. So for those that don't know, Reb Chaim had an Edom Reb Tzvi Hersh Glickson, who was a Ger Chosid, was Chassidish. In fact, they just recently, very, very recently, printed Shiurim and Kisvei Yad that they found from him. It's called Shiurei Teiras Chaim, and it's Teir from Reb Chaim Zedim. He was Rosh Hashiv in Varsha, a Ger Chosid. Either way, so he said that he was once with Hishver Reb Chaim, and they met Ramea Simcha. And Reb Chaim and Ramea Simcha started talking and learning. So Reb Chaim asked Ramea Simcha the following question. He said, we know that a Shomer Aveda, there's a machloikis Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi holds he's a Shomer Chinam. Rabbi Yosef holds he's a Shomer Socher. So Rabbi Chaim asked Rabbi Simcha, if a Shomer Aveda would have the Ptur Ba'olav Imoy, or he wouldn't have the Ptur Baal Avimai? This is the question that he asked him. Does a Shomer Aveda have a Baal Avimai or not? So what would be the case? I guess the case would be where the owner of the Aveda is punked working for the person that found the Aveda. He now found the Aveda. So the question is, would you have the Ptur of Baal Avimai, or would you not have the Ptur of Baal Avimai? So Mei Simcha said Avada, what's the Shaila? Why shouldn't you have the Ptur of Baal Avimai? So Chaim told him, I'm asking, but I want to say that it could be, when it comes to a Shomer Aveda, you would have to be Baal Avimai, the ganze Zeit, not only at the time that you find the Aveda, but even at the time of the Shvura Mesa, even at the time of the Gnev of Aveda, you'd have to have been a Baal of Imai throughout the entire time. In other words, one of the big chedushim in the halacha of Baal of Imai is that if it was Baal of Imai at the time of the Sheva, even if it's not Baal of Imai at the time that the incident took place, it doesn't matter, the Shtoyl is still going to be potter. But Reb Chaim said that I hold by a Shomer Aveda, you would have to be Baal of Imai the entire time. And he was Masbir Gevaldik. He said that, what's the halach of Shomer Aveda? What's the halach of Baal Avimai? The halach of Baal Avimai is that at the time that you're Mekabel Shmira, it's Baal Avimai, so the halach is Yipater. Now we rather spoke out for Reb Chaim, that Baruch Per brings in Birchah Shmuel and Bavakama Simul Amid Beis, that together a Baal Avimai is, it's not a Ptur in the Dine Shmira, but rather it's a Ptur in the Ikachiv Shmira. That if it's Baal Avimai, I never become a Shomer. If that's the case, said Reb Chaim, a regular Shomer, when does he become a Shomer? At the time that you give him the item. If it was Baal Avimai then, say he never became a Shomer. If he never became a Shomer, even if 3 months later something happened, I was never a Shomer. I'm not a Shomer. That's the halacha of Baal Avimai, and I'm going to be Potter. But Reb Chaim said, what's the Mechayiv of Shmira by a Shomer Aveda? It's the mitzvah saseh in the Torah of Hashavas Aveda. The Torah says that if you find somebody's lost item, you have to return it. It's the Hashavas Aveda, it's the mitzvah that's mechayiv the Shmira. Part and parcel of the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, said Reb Chaim, is that you have to watch it. That's part of your chiv. If that's the case, said Reb Chaim, no niach, that at the time that you found the Aveda, when you physically became a Shomer Aveda, it was Baal Avimai. Okay. You're potter, you don't have to watch it. But now it's not Baal Avimai anymore. Said Reb Chaim, but I still have a Chiv Hashavas Aveda. The Chiv Hashavas Aveda is Bechol Rega Verega. So if it would be Baal Avimai, Bechol Rega Verega and Chanam, you'd always have to Ptur Baal Avimai. He said, but being that it was only Baal Avimai at the time that it started, so in Chanami, for that moment, you don't have a Din Shomer. Because you're right, in the parish of Shomer, there's a halacha of Baal Avimai. And if it's true by a Shoyl, and it's true by all the Shomer, why would it not be true by a Shomer Aveda? Oh, but Reb Chaim said, that's all good as it relates to Baal of Imai the entire time. Because then the entire time you have the Ptur Baal of Imai. Meaning by a regular Shomer, where the Chiv Shmir goes into effect at the time that you become a Shomer. So good, once it was Baal of Imai then, you're good to go. Nothing can happen later that's going to change that. But a Shomer Aveda, he doesn't get his Chiv Shmir the minute he finds the Aveda, and that's it. Every Rega that you have a Chiv Hashavas Aveda, it comes along with a Chiv Shmir. So even though there was Baal Avimai on the initial, on the onset of the Chiv Shmir, oh, but what about now? Now I have a new Chiv Shmir, mitzad the fact that I fight to have my Chiv Hashavas Aveda, and if it's not Baal Avimai then I'm going to be off the hook. So this is Reb Chaim told Reb Simcha. Reb Simcha told Reb Chaim, I'm not masking. He said, why not? I'm saying good. He said, why are you not masking? So Reb Simcha said, because we learned the Gemara in yesterday's daf. The Gemara talked about a case where if it was Shalah Bebailim and it was Sachar Shalay Bebailim. And the Gemara had four different questions. It was Sachar Bebailim, Shal, Sachar, Shal. But Reb Simcha said, you see from that Gemara that even though the Sheila and the Schiris, Avad is two different things, but if it starts off Shalah Bebailim and then it's a Sachar Shalay Bebailim, we look at the Sachar Shalay Bebailim as a Hemshech of the Shalah Bebailim. So he said, if that's true for Sheila and Schiris that are two completely different in Yonim, he said, it's Pashat that a Shomer Aveda who started off being a Shomer Bebailim, even if later he Vaita has a new Chi of Shomer Aveda, but it's the same Shomer Aveda. And if we say that there's a Hemshech when as it relates to the Sheil and Schiris Kavachomer, there have to be a Hemshech as it relates to this Chi of Shomer Aveda and that Chi of Shomer Aveda, and for that reason Rav Simcha told Reb Chaim, it sounds like Rav Simcha might have gotten the last word, I'm not sure, but either way, this is where Rav Simcha told Reb Chaim. I think they bring that Reb Chaim was masking, but either way, this is the first aura. The second aura is, there was a Rashi that we saw very, very quickly on Daf Tzadik Vav on the days. We said we would get back to it. No, Al Toimer, L'Kisha Efna Eshna. So I think it's good to get back to it right now. That is, on Daf Tzadik Vav on the days, the Gemara brought an Ibaya from Rami Bar Chama. It was a hard Ibaya. The case was where a married woman's father dies and she yarshins her father's estate. So the halach is, we view the estate as nechsa malug, and the husband's going to have the schus to eat the nechsa malug. What happens if there was hektish in the estate, they didn't know about it, and as a result, via the Yerusha slash via the Kenyan Paris transferring from the woman to the husband is a haitzam or shus l'shus, which should constitute a me'ila, albeit b'shayin. The question was, who should be ma'il? Rabbi Bar Chama assumed somebody's ma'il, and the question is, ba'al b'nech ze'ishtay mima. Should the husband be ma'il? Mechateisi. Should the woman be ma'il? Mechateisi. And then he threw out an interesting tzad, did Rabbi Bar Chama. He said, maybe nimalu bezdin. Maybe bezdin should be the ones that are ma'il. But the Gemara says there's no way that Bezdin should be the ma'il. What was the tzad? What was the havamin of Rami Bar Chama that Bezdin should be ma'il? So Rashi says as follows. Nimalu Bezdin shall yisrol shaba isadar. The Bezdin of that generation, that Bezdin should be the ma'il. Shekol takonos mishpat tluya behem. Because really all takonos, all institutions, everything is totally in them. Vayidehem noyagos chukos hamesukonim letzibur miyaz. And it's through them that all the halachas that we know about in the Gemara really are in effect. Vahavi kemisha tiknu loy hem kinyin zeh. So if that's the case, it's as if Bezdin's the one that enforced this takana. V'nimtzu, and if that's the case, what would emerge is hem hamaknin l'nichsei hektish. They're the ones that were makna the nichsei hektish. V'hoitzion l'chulin, and they're the ones that caused it to be yoytzel l'chulin. In other words, Rami Bar Chama had it sad that maybe Baal b'nechsei yishtoi Bezdin should be the ones that are mile. And the reason is because Bezdin is the one that's causing the nechasim that the woman yarshins to go from her rishos to the husband's rishos. I mean, really, she yarshined it. Her father died, she yarshined it. Why is her husband getting it? It's because of the takana of Peres Nechsem Alok. Who made that takana? Bezdin's the one that made that takana. So if Bezdin's the one that made that takana, so Bezdin is really the one that triggered this and it's based on that, said Rami Bar Chama. I could hear a very strong tzad that maybe Bezdin is the one that should be mild. And we spoke it at the time. It sounds like, from this Rashi, a very big chiddush, that the way we view takanas that were put in place by the Deirus HaRishonim is not so much like the Deirus HaRishonim put them in place and now they're on cruise control, and we have them at Bias Gael Tzedek, or until a Bezdin that's Godom Imenu, Bechachma Beminyan, comes around, which of course is not possible. But rather, it sounds like the Takonos of Bezdin are Chayzer V'Neir in every single generation. And being that they're Chayzer V'Neir in every single generation, if there was a Me'ilah that happened because of a Takonos Bezdin, Rami Bar Chama hears it sad that maybe Bezdin should be Ma'il. Now, Rami Bar Chama was Doichet the Tzad, but he was Doichet for an external, a Zeitiger reason. It doesn't sound like Rami Bar Chama ever saw Bezdin's role in Peres Nechsem Alok any differently than the way he presents it in this Gemara right here. I'll tell you a Marimokim Nifla that the Achrenim quote in different places. And the Marimokim is from the Mishkanes Yaakov. So the Mishkanes Yaakov, who was from the Beis Medrash of Volozhin, he was the brother of the Keren Oira, great, great, great guy. And the Mishkanes Yaakov, this is in Choshen Mishpat, it's in Simen Lamed Vav. He discussed the fact that in his generation, he observed that people were not being makbid in Shemitah's Kesafim. So, we know one of the halachas of Shemitah is that all loans become null and void, right? You can't collect on a loan once Shemitah comes. But people weren't being makbid in Shemitah's Kesafim. Now, the truth is, this observation of the Mishkanes Yaakov, as the Mishkanes Yaakov himself acknowledges, is something that the Kadmonim had already observed. In fact, the Rosh, in a tshuva, writes that, you know, when he left Europe, he was forced to, and he went to Spain, and one of the things that he noticed in Spain was, is that nobody was makbid on Shemitah's Kesafim, nobody was writing prusbuls, and he was very disturbed by it. It bothered him terribly. He said he couldn't understand what's going on over here. It's halach in the Torah. You have to keep Shemitah's Kesafim. So what exactly is happening? And he said, did the Rosh, but Lemaisa, if this is the Minig, there must be a Cheshbon to the Minig. And he sat down and he came up with an Eitzah. And the Eitzah was based on the Gemara Masechtas Makis Taf Gimel Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says if somebody loans somebody money and he says, Al Menash Shaloi Tishamteini Bishvias, Ain Shvias Misham. And the reason is because you're a masa masha because of the Torah, but davish at the moment, and the halach is tonight kaim. It's a whole sugi in the beginning of Masechtas Makis. So he said, must be that being that everybody fifes on the laws of Shemitah's Ksafim. So if we're fifing on the laws of Shemitah's Ksafim, he says, okay, so it's as if there's an understanding. When you shake hands on a loan, it's understood that Shemitah's going to be null and void. It's as if we made the tonight, and being that it's as if we made the tonight, it's for that reason you don't have to worry about this halacha. We've spoken out many times that the Eilig Chassam Sofer in a Chuvin Yehudeh, Simon Yotes, he brought this rush as a semel, as a symbol for the chshivas of Minig Yisrael, and what it means, Chadosh Asim and HaTorah, and what it means, Minig Yisrael Torah. He's lashing his kama yegiyos, right? He says, look at how many yegiyos, how much toil the rush put into trying to figure out what the minig was of people that at first glance were just Ivrei Aveira and Rishon, that they weren't keeping the laws of Shvius. But he held, if this is what Klal Yisrael does, there must be a reason to it. And this is the Chassam Sofer talking to his Talmud, giving him a classic, epic Chadash Asam and HaTorah Shmuz. But the bottom line is, the Mishkan is Yaakov was addressing this inyan, that for some reason you have people that Upkitin mentioned, that Shlomo Torah Mitzvahs, and Me'ezetam Sheyir, it's very hard to understand, they're not keeping the laws of Shemitah's Ksafim. The question is, what happened to the laws of Shemitah's Ksafim? So he says a davar nifla. He says, listen to his opening line. Va'oid yeshli l'chadesh bozeh davar. I want to be mechadesh something. U'mistafina mechavrei. I'm just a little bit afraid of my chaver. And I'm afraid that I'm not going to be safe if I say this chiddush. Aval amayis, said the Mishkan is Yaakov. I want to say a murdiga chiddush. Al pi divrei Rashi, besugi debav ametziya perek hashara. And he says, hazoi. He says that the Shulchan Aruch paskins that Shemitah b'zman hazeh the Rabbanon. That's a big asik. Shemitah b'zman hazeh the Raisa, Shemitah b'zman hazeh the Rabbanon. We spoke at once a tshuva from the Beis Halevi. But the pashtus is that Shemitah b'zman hazeh is the Rabbanon. If that's the case, Shemitah's k'sofim b'zman hazeh is certainly only mid the Rabbanon. Shnei Shemitah is akasa medaber. We makish the two to each other. So the pashtus is that Yovel is not knowing today. As a result, Shemitah is only the Rabbanon. As a result, Shemitah's k'sofim is also only mid the Rabbanon. So that means that this whole issue of Shemitah's k'sofim b'zman hazeh could be is only a shayla of the Rabban. We're not handling a shayla of the Raisa, but rather what we'd be handling over here is a shayla of the Rabban. So he said like this, meaning midai Raisa, if somebody borrows money from somebody, Shemitah really shouldn't be Meshamet Techayv. What then is the reason that there would be Shemitah's Ksafim, and we don't want the Malva to be able to collect from the Loiva after Shemitah? It would be based on the fact that at the end of the day, the Rabbanon instituted Shemitah's Ksafim. That's something the Rabbanon have a right to do. Now, what gives the Rabbanon a right to say that if Midei Raisna there's no Shemitah, we're going to say Shemitah. We're going to tell the Malva, you have no right to go ahead and collect the money. It's based on Hefker Bez and Hefker, right? That's something the Rabbanon have a right to do. That's sugi. Perek Hashelech, the Gemara talks about it. Since based on the idea of Hefke Bez and Hefke, that's what gave the Rabbanon a right to spiel and to manipulate the laws of Shemitah. It's based on their koich that they have of Hefke Bez and Hefke. So said the Mishkan is Yaakov, Yishlem, that Rashi says in Rami Bar Chomiz Yibayu and Bav Metziah Dav Tzadik Vav Amadeh, that all the takonis of the Yemei Kedem really were not put into place and now they're going to be Chai V'Kayim La'olam. But rather, the Beis Din of every generation has a responsibility to go ahead and to enforce it. Meaning, it's Chozev V'Neir in every door. Which means, if you're going to have a Hefker Beis Din Hefker today in Tavshin Pei Dalet, the Beis Din of Tavshin Pei Dalet is going to be the one that's going to put Hefker Beis Din Hefker into effect. Right? That's the way it works. That's the Rashi. That's the Havamina of Limalu Besen. And by the way, Mishkan Yaakov speaks out when he talks about this Rashi. He says, you know, this is a Chiddush of Rashi. He said, but I'll be honest with you, I don't know how else you can learn the Gemara. I mean, sometimes Rashi says a Chiddush from left field. He said, this is what the Gemara said. The Gemara Havamina Limalu Besen. What else does it mean? So you see that Bezdin is the one that, if it's a Hefke Bezdin Hefke, going back to the times of Ezra, right, so what does it have to do with the Heintek Bezdin? The Teretz is, Dosh Deito Be'etzim in the Gemara. Good, it's a Rashi. But Dosh Deito L'Chayr in the Gemara. So if that's the case, said the Mishkan is Yaakov, now I'm going to say, Adobo Mistafino Mechavraya. You ready? He says like this. He says, we know that a proper Bezdin had to be made up of Smuchin It had to be made up of mumche, right? The Gemara in the beginning of Masechta Sanhedrin says, Dinim Omenus Beshloisha. How could the Bezdin go ahead and paskin, right? Even at Yoytis, how could you paskin? Don't you have to be smuchin? So the Gemara says, the reason someone that's not a musbach is able to paskin is because Anan Shlichusayu, we're doing the shlichus of the musmachin, and that's how we're able to paskin. But really, a Bezdin has to be made up of smuchin, right? So if a Bezdin has to be made up of smuchin, the only way to not be a musmach to go ahead and paskin is going to be if you're acting as a shlich. Now, he says, Klar, he says, that's poshut, even though I don't have a mefurish raya, that to be a hefker, bezdin hefker, you have to be a bezdin of smuchin. He says, but it's, you're talking that way. Why? He says, because there's two makaris to how you know hefker, bezdin hefker. One makaris, we learn from Ezra, right? Ezra said that whoever doesn't show up in 3 days, yechrom kol ruchushay. And the Gemara throughout Shas says, this is the makar that hefker, bezdin hefker. He says, Ezra, if the makar is from him, he was a musmuch, right? That goes without question. His bezdin was the bezdin agadol. So you see clearly that you need a proper bezdin. The other makar the Gemara brings is learned out from Eila Rashi Amatos, right? We learn it from Elazar Kohen Gadol and from Yeshua Benun. Again, musmachim, bezdin agadol. If that's the case, it's poshut that hefker bezdin hefker would require musmachim. Nervos is an Indian of Anan Shulchusayu Kavdinan. But you always find Anan Shulchusayu Kavdinan. So says the Mishkenes Yaakov, stating that, although Chazal said, Anan Shulchusayu Kavdinan, there's certain limitations. So for example, in Bavel, they used to paskin Dinei Mominis, even though they weren't Musmachim, but they did it b'shlichus of the Bezdin in Yerushalayim. But they didn't paskin Dinei Knossos. And the Gemara gives different parameters of when we say Anan Shulchusayu and when we don't say Anan Shulchusayu. The Gemara says it would have to be something that's Shchiach, and it would have to be a Dova Sheyesh B'chson Kis. But if it's not a Dova that's Shchiach, and it's not a Dova Sheyesh B'chson Kis, then you wouldn't say Anan Shulchusayu Kavdinam. Now, there are exceptions. Mipnei Tikkun HaOlam. That's a big exception. But the point is, you'd have to really fall in to very, very specific cases in order for you to be able to do it. So he says, I want to ask you a question. He says, Shmitas Ksofen Bim Meshamet. Is that Shchiach or not Shchiach? Now, if you ask me, I'd say, I don't know. The Mishkan and Siakam said it's not Shchiach. But even if you want to debate that point, he says, is it a Dova Sheyesh B'chson Kis? By saying that the loiva gets to keep the money. Ah, it sounds like it's chasar and kiss to the loiva. Yeah, but when Chazal say chasar and kiss, it's not what they mean. What does Chazal mean when they say chasar and kiss? It means that Reuven was mazik Shimon. And Shimon has a mamani gabach. Reuven lend money to Shimon. Reuven goes to Shimon, you owe me money. So Bezdin says, if a guy's going to lose money, we feel bad for you. So we're going to be shluchim of the grace of Bezdin. And even though we don't have the credentials, we're not the Elohim, Balash and Chal, that Torah is talking about. But at the same time, this is something that we're going to do as a shliach. But the chasar kiss doesn't mean someone's going to lose money. It means there's a real hefset over here. He says, in Shemitah's Ksofim, who is the chasar and kiss? The chasar and kiss is the malva. This guy, if I cared, he loaned the person money. Midday Raisa, he should be able to collect the money. I'd be a skull tzedek. But we're going to go now, and we're going to say, we're going to be shluchim not to allow you to take the money? So he says, I don't understand. There's no chsar and kiss. To the contrary, Adarab is lashon is. You're being moisif and you're being marbe chsar and kiss. There's more chsar and kiss that's coming about as a result of this right now. And he says there's no grace of tikkun olam over here. And if that's the case, he says lulei de mistafina kumis no shmita sufim bezman hazeh. And he says if that's the case, zeh nir lefi anias daiti dover hogan lelamit zchus al minig yisrael mimea goyim valpi divrei Rashi zechroinu levrach. Poshut based on a Rashi. It says, Chabar Rashi tucked away in Bava Mitzi and Perak Asher Tzadik Bava Mendez, and I think this is an Eitzah to be Miyashiv, this Minig Olam. At the end, he says that I have a little bit of a Sa'ad. I have a little bit something to lean on, and that is the Ravan, one of the Rishonim, also known as the Raivan. So the Raivan, in the end of the Sefer, he says, he brings a story where there was a person that somebody was Meshadach and Ishan, they were supposed to get married, and then somebody came and he was Mekadosh or Be'edim, and Imam is like, he jumped the gun. And as a result, this person who was in a state of Shaduchim, all of a sudden, he wasn't going to be able to get married because now she's an Eish HaSish already. And there was a whole tumult, and the Rabbana wanted to say, called the Mekadosh, Adaita, the Rabbana Mekadosh, V'afkinu Rabbana L'kidush HaMinei. They wanted to knock out that whole second marriage. They said, he didn't go Adaita, the Rabbana, who was the Shalei Kehoigen, we're going to go like him Shalei Kehoigen. So the Raivan said, it doesn't work. He says, yeah, once upon a time, Bezdin had the authority to do things like this. He says, my Bezdin? This is like 800 years ago? He says, Bezdin can't do this anymore. There's no more. Freak the Mishkenes. Yeah, what does he even mean? What do you mean? If it was put into place then, so it's Chayvik, the Teretz, he means Rashi. He means Rashi in Bava Metzia Daf Tzadik Vav and Beis. And being that he means Rashi in Bava Metzia Daf Tzadik Vav and Beis, state on day Rashi, I'm more to go on this, that the way Hefker Bez and Hefker, the Tein L'Chach and the Yech Gemoy, the way all the Takonis of Chazal work, it's not they were put in place and now they're on autopilot. No, they were put in place, but they're Chosev in Eir, and every Bez Din of every generation has to fight to enforce it. He has to fight to put it in place. And being that he has to fight to put it in place, so it's for that reason, said the Mishkan Asiakiv, he said, this is my greatest chiddush. He said, I know it's a very big chiddush, and really, lulei de mistafina mechavraya, this is something that I would say. I'm a little bit afraid to say it. Either way, there's a part two to this, but Be'ez Hashem will pick this up in the course of the week.